guardian angels and patron saints, pray for us. Well, I wish you all an abundant and joyful moment in which we can stand together in the presence of God and of this couple and rejoice over how good he is. And so to you, Kathy and Hossein, to Beth and to Mike, to your families, to the assembly of clergy here in the sanctuary, who joined to celebrate with us, Father Jaramillo, Father Alba, Father Hamilton, Father Ouellette, Father Zimmerman, Father Haug, and Father Bayou, grateful for your presence here today. And it provides me with an occasion to just inform you, Abe and Sarah, that these priests come at a cost. You may not be aware of this, but it is the tradition, the long-standing tradition, that a couple is blessed with one extra child for every priest that they have at their wedding. And we wish you all the abundance and joy that that would bring. I'm grateful to be able to celebrate this Mass with you, two friends that I love very much, care about, and want the best for, and have seen a great deal of growth in sanctification and virtue in the years which I've known you. And I have gotten to know you, and I've gotten to see the ways in which you reflect so differently the goodness of God as individuals. Abe, though I don't know you as well, I can glean certain things about you, because in so many ways, I think we are our training. Character is the fruit of training. And I know you to be trained in a discipline and in a profession that requires a great deal of trustworthiness and consistency. You must be meticulous as you prepare to fly an airplane. There are checklists. There are processes. You must check and double check. Because in the end, either the compass is true or it's not. Either the fuel gauge is correct or it's not. Either you arrive safe and on time or you don't. Either you have clearance or you don't. Never assume. Always verify. Don't play with things you don't understand, because they can get you killed. This has created in you a certain allergy to poetry. Because you don't have time for poetry when people are depending on you. Understandable. In so many ways, we are our training. And you've chosen as your bride, and she has chosen you in return, someone very different, a different set of experiences, different kinds of training. A personality who is intuitive and contemplative, poetic, artistic. It's not so much about getting there by the shortest route as it is enjoying the journey. Sarah's fascinated not by the big machines, but the big simple realities. Beauty, music, death, memes. An example of a typical text message you might receive from Sarah Burns. I read this in Kristen Lavern's daughter this morning. The song cut through her like a blinding light. Now she saw how deep in the dust she lay. I want that carved on my tombstone. So I entrust that information to you, Abe, now, to do with as you wish. we are in so many ways, our training, our outlook. But I find it fascinating that both of you, with your differences of outlook and disposition, that are united in one significant experience. Each of you invested years of your life in discerning a vocation to a life of consecrated service to God. Your training, your dispositions, your personalities brought you both to the point, in very unique ways, of discerning how it is that you're called to say yes in some definitive and irrevocable way. First to God, and then in some other form of promise. And that's significant, that such different people with such different training and such different character would be brought to that same point. And recognize how God invites every single one of his children to make that ask, that act of entrustment, of surrender, of self-gift. And your time of discernment clarified for each of you that that was not the precise way in which you were called to say yes, but you were, in fact, called to say it. Now, you say it in a different tone and in a different way today. It is precisely what you say. Yes. And though I could elaborate perhaps much more profitably on Sarah's training as a Montessori teacher, something I would be much more familiar with, I choose today to maybe perhaps draw our analogies from Abe's training and profession as a pilot. Marriage is certainly a school, but it is also a glorious flight through the heavens. And flying, for all of its rigor and its procedure, is an act of entrustment. I've not been on a flight with Abe yet, but I suspect that there is a sense, especially in your first few times at the yoke, that when you pull back on those instruments, you become very aware that you were utterly dependent. You and everyone on board with you. And so too, marriage, holy matrimony, has its essential checks and verification before takeoff. As I ask you the questions before you exchange your promises, we go down the list to make sure that what you are doing here is free, is faithful, and is fruitful. You can't take off without those. It has its essential checks and verification. And in the end, either it is free or it's not. Either you're here without coercion and without conditions, or you're not. Either you're here full of faith in the sense of recognizing that God is at the center of your marriage, and that the love that you bear for one another and the growth in love is connected by a direct line to your growth in love for God. And likewise, that your growth and intensification of the love for God is also connected by a direct line to your growth in love and intensification in love for one another. Even though at times that line may be prolonged out beyond the horizon and is only visible by faith. And either it is not only open to life, but ordered to life and fruitfulness, or it's not. So, once those checks have been placed on the pre-flight list, you have clearance. And you have to determine, then, is this person occupying this flight with me going to see it through with me? And once those pre-flight discussions are complete, the glorious moment of takeoff arrives. And as the one responsible, entrusted with the privilege of preparing you, I have every confidence, as do so many of us who know you well and love you, that it will indeed be a glorious flight. I want to share with you just one final analogy from a little book about flying called Wind, Sand, and Stars. It's by the same man who wrote The Little Prince. He's a pilot by training. He was a pilot in the 1930s and 40s, in a time when there was no GPS. Navigation was purely by visibility alone, and you were flying in a machine that was running on an engine that could at any moment sputter and die, leaving you stranded in the middle of a desert, in the middle of an ocean, in the middle of the cornices and crevasses of the Andes. For he was a mail pilot, that is, a postal pilot. And he was responsible for carrying bags of mail from France to all parts of the world. And that rather humble responsibility was nonetheless something that he and the men who carried on that work took with the utmost seriousness. Because they had been given orders, they had been given a responsibility, and their role was to carry it out, sometimes at the peril of their lives. It wasn't because of the importance of the messages that they were carrying necessarily, it was the fact that they were responsible and they had a mission to accomplish. It's a beautiful book. I hope you'll read it. Maybe I'll give you a copy for your wedding present. But I'd like to share with you this point that he makes. The mail pouches for which he is responsible, the pilot that is, they're stowed away in the afterhold of the plane. They constitute the dogma of the religion of his craft. The torch, which in this aerial race is passed from runner to runner. What matter, though, they hold but the scribblings of tradesmen and nondescript lovers? The interests which dictated them may very well not be worth the struggle of man and storm. But I know what they become once they have been entrusted to the crew, taken over, as the phrase is. The crew do not care about the banker or the tradesman. If someday their wing is hooked by a cliff, it will not have been in the interest of tradespeople that they will have died, but in obedience to orders which ennoble the sacks of mail once they are on board ship. Now, the burdens entrusted to you are far more serious and of far greater moment than mere sacks of mail, though they may weigh you down at times. The goods of family, the goods of new life, the goods of community, that will see you through times of difficulty and suffering, of which we are all witnesses here today, as promises as well, that we not only are here to hold you accountable, but to support you. These burdens are the glorious charge that our Lord entrusts to you, because your marriage will at many times feel like a humble and undistinguished task, but it is ennobled by the sacramental grace that you receive today and is renewed each day through your love. Christ favors you. Christ blesses you. Christ sends you on this glorious flight through the heavens. So you have your orders, and you have our love and our prayers. So if your faith in God and your faith in one another makes you ready, I invite you to stand, to come forward, and for your wedding party to join you as witnesses.